that Nikki Haley, a former presidential candidate, that Nikki Haley is not campaigning for Donald Trump? Donald Trump needs help with women. And Nikki Haley is a woman. Nikki Haley got, you know, she got a lot of votes. She did pretty well. I mean, she didn't come close to beating Donald Trump in the primary season, but she got some votes. And in some places, she was very, very popular and kind of came close to Donald Trump. I don't remember which areas those were, but she wasn't close enough to, you know, win the nomination by any means or be a serious threat. But she is a moderate Republican voice, and maybe that's the key. Maybe Donald Trump doesn't want a moderate voice. Maybe he's, I don't know, jealous of her or, you know, whatever. I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting that, you know, he's got this stupid comedian who does not deserve the title of comedian by any means. He's got people like that on stage. He's got people on stage feeding his base. And he needs more than his base to win. And Nikki Haley could help him broaden his base. And he hasn't called on Nikki Haley. I think that's really unusual. And I know we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but there's also been a lot of talk about how Kamala Harris is not using President Biden. I don't think she should. I mean, with Biden, the garbage comment, it's like, I mean, you can't trust him. I mean, look, the guy's an elder statesman. It's time for him to retire from politics. He can write a book. He can just relax and, you know, enjoy the beach. But he shouldn't be president of the United States. And that is coming to an end. But I don't think he should be on the campaign trail. And he just had a negative image. I mean, you know, Trump did better against Joe Biden in most of the polls, and Kamala Harris did better against Trump in most of the polls. So I just don't see where he is a positive influence on the campaign trail. Now, one of Kamala Harris's big problems has been distancing herself from the Obama administration. She's part of it. And while I've argued that vice presidents don't really have a lot of power, vice presidents don't have, like, policies. The policies are that of Joe Biden, but Kamala Harris is getting blame. The Republicans and the Trump campaign are smart to blame her for the problems, even though, you know, people want to blame her. But it's like, what did she really do? She was vice president. If you're vice president, you're really not in control of much. And you can go back to Mike Pence. You can go back to, you know, to different vice presidents. And I said, I guess that one of the big exceptions would be Dick Cheney, who I always believed was sort of a co-president with George W. Bush. But I mean, go back and see that vice presidents really didn't do that much. So Kamala Harris didn't do that much. And she's had a hard time presenting herself as truly independent of Joe Biden. And she's getting the blame for everything that the Biden administration did. Also, and I love talking about this every year. I wrote a blog about this. It's posted right now on the WWL.com website. I'll get it posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page soon. It's titled Tainted Halloween Candy, Real or a Hoax? You heard all this talk about tainted Halloween candy. Is that real? Did it really happen? I mean, how did that get in the media? How did the media run with this story year after year about tainted Halloween candy? And I told the story that in the mid-80s, when I was on B97, I remember talking about how East Jefferson General Hospital was offering for parents to bring all their kids' Halloween candy down to have it x-rayed to make sure that there were no needles or razor blades or anything like that. Well, they couldn't x-ray for poison, but maybe they could tell if it was tampered with. But you know what? That was ridiculous. So anyway, I'm gonna go through how this turned up in the media, but also, you know, this is just another reminder that, you know, the media is interested in attracting the biggest possible audience. And the media, with no substantive information to back it up, the media ran with stories about kids dying from tainted Halloween candy. So we'll get into that a little bit later. And I'll get this posted on the SOTA Facebook page so you can comment on it. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Coleman is our studio producer. Happy Halloween. Good afternoon, sir.
Happy Halloween, Scooter. Just one correction. I think it was Donald Trump that said he'd be the protector of women, whether they like it or not. And Kamala Harris was responding to it.
Oh, I appreciate you correcting me on that. I don't know how I missed that, but, you know, I did.
But other than that, it's been a good Halloween so far.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah, you know, that sounds like something Donald Trump would say, because, again, Donald Trump is trying to get women. That's why I'm just really confused as to why he didn't bring out Nikki Haley, who for a lot of moderate Republicans, a lot of mainstream Republicans, she was a strong voice. She represented a lot of their views and values, and I thought she would have been a positive influence. Maybe that's why Kamala Harris... Maybe that's why Donald Trump didn't want Nikki Haley on the campaign trail, because she might get attention. And we know that Donald Trump doesn't want anybody to take attention away from him. So, again, you know, if he loses, he can look back and think, No, that's right. He would never admit he did anything wrong. We're going to get to some text, and also we'll get to some of your calls this afternoon. We've got a lot of great Halloween music planned for the show this afternoon. And if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. Happy Halloween. It's Halloween 2024. A lot of people I know are planning to be out. French Quarter, Frenchman, it will be popping again. I was out of town last weekend, but I know both of those places were crowded this past weekend. You know, a lot of people actually, you know, party more the weekend before Halloween, because Halloween falls on a school night for, you know, a lot of people, and they can't always get out and do everything they want to do. So a lot of partying that goes on the weekend before. Now, next year, I would think Halloween's going to be on a Friday, right? So that's going to be a crazy, crazy time. So if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're talking about politics because the election is coming up next Tuesday. And I can't wait for it to be over so we can start talking about the second part of this. Who won? How did they win? And why did they win? Because the talk is not going to end after the election. The commercials may end, but the conversation about what happened, who won, and why they won, and if they won, that's going to go on for a very long time. So we'll have a lot to talk about afterwards. Ian's off. Coleman is our studio producer back at the studio. Coleman, you've got a couple of text messages for us?
Sure. There's a few people that want to talk about the Saints for some reason. I don't know why I didn't equate that to the thing. But as far as the scariest thing is that Trump is not telling the truth. That's from James from Harvey, and people are falling for it. We have hold on 1 second, Scoot. Hold on. I'm a bit disoriented. Give me 1 second. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you know what? Take your time, and I'll talk about that for just a moment. We're trying to work out the Zoom call that we lost just a moment ago. Coleman back at the studio working on that. I'm doing the show from my apartment in West End, so he's got to take care of that. So, you know, I'll just talk a little bit about Donald Trump not telling the truth. That's true. He doesn't tell the truth. But neither does Kamala Harris. We've talked about the type of lies that Kamala Harris tells compared to the type of lies that Donald Trump tells. I don't think there's a comparison, but many of you would say that it's exactly the same. It's interesting that people want to talk about the Saints, because when you look at their last performance, that was so scary that maybe Halloween is bringing up memories of that scary performance. We've got a story on our website now about Derek Carr, who is vowing to be a psychopath when he returns to the Saints, and he's expected to be back this week against the Panthers. See, here's why I like this. Because Derek Carr and Dennis Allen have been the calmest people ever in the aftermath of an embarrassing loss. Not just a loss, embarrassing losses. And these two guys have been totally calm. I mean, it's almost like flatline. No emotion whatsoever. And that gets fans riled up because it's like, where's the emotion? Why are we so emotional about this? And man, you act like it's just, okay, well, you know, we lost. And I mean, that's the tone from both of these guys. So, and then the one time that Dennis Allen kind of got fired up, he apologized for it. Oh, I'm sorry, man, don't apologize for it. It's okay to show passion. I mean, at least we know you're freaking human. So Derek Carr vowing to be a psychopath tells me that he really does care. I think this is a positive thing. And you know, there needs to be more of this. You know, maybe this will be infectious, and we need more of that from all of the Saints, because it seems like too often they're just going through the motions. And you're not going to just go through the motions and win a game. In fact, if they go through the motions this week, they're going to lose to the Panthers. And I think I heard Steve Geller say they're a 6.5-point favorite. You know, that's pretty big in the NFL to be a 6.5-point favorite. So, you know, I mean, it's just sad. And I mean, you're paid millions of dollars to concentrate and care and apply what you've learned in practice, apply what you know to your field of play. And we don't see that. So that's what needs to change with the Saints. It's not all the coaches, it's players too. And I know the players and the coaches, they can kick back and they go, well, you know what? I mean, as a talk show host, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. I know my business. You know your business. If I'm not doing my job, you can tell me. But the public in general, this is why you're paid so much money. The public in general, the sports fans in general across America, they have every right, this is part of the game, to critique teams, whatever the team is, to critique apathetic play, to critique, it's part of the game. And I think the fans just, you know, they want more emotion, because it just seems like, oh, well, we lost. We'll have to do better. And the tone with which that is delivered is monotone. And that's what's pissing fans off. And the Saints want to fill the dome. But if this continues, it's going to get to the point where that's not going to be a guarantee anymore. I don't think people are going to put bags on their heads in any big number. I mean, as disgusted I was with the Saints sometimes in the past, I never put a bag on my head, and I never would. I mean, if that's the way you want to express yourself, do it. But I'm not going to do that. I don't promote that. But there's certainly other ways to show your displeasure with the way things are going with the Saints. And I think there's going to be a change. I talked about it last year. Haven't talked about it yet this year. Not everybody was happy with me mentioning this, but I think it's going to happen, and I'll let you know when it happens, and I'll say, this is what I was talking about last year. This is what a lot of you were talking about the same thing. So I don't want to say it, but I think the Saints are in a position where it has to happen. A change in one particular area has to happen. So we'll see. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okanar Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to David in Metairie. David, welcome to the show. Happy Halloween.
Hey, Stu, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make a final comment about the election. You mentioned something earlier, I think, about the worst thing you fear from Trump or Harris, something of that nature. And I just wanted to make a general comment. And I'm not trying to convince anybody, because I know it's hopeless. I'm just giving my opinion. And I will say, I'm almost 70. I've been around a long time, been in the military, worked for the government. When I hear all this stuff about the people, conspiracies and no Putin involvement and all this, and I can't say what I want to say on the radio, but I want to say they don't know what they're talking about. They don't even know where Ukraine is on the freaking map, all right? That's the truth. They don't, government conspiracy. I worked for the federal government. Let me tell you, Scoot, three people in the government can't keep a secret. And for people to think that there's massive amount of peoples in the federal government conspiring. They need to go see a shrink real quick, Scoot. And that's what's so frustrating. Not about me. I'll be dead in a few years. But, the future this country and our grandchildren, it's sad. You know what? I'd vote for Attila the Hun, for Il Hitler, before I'd ever vote for Trump. Trump is nothing but a literal megalomaniac, malignant narcissist, criminal sociopath, and people want to put this traitor in just watch. And that's all I got to say for what it's worth. Thank you.
All right, David. Glad you had a chance to express your opinion. The other thing that we've talked about is for all the people who criticize Kamala Harris and the Democrats for being fascist, I don't think they really know the definition of fascism. Because there are characteristics of Donald Trump that perfectly fit the definition of fascism. And if you don't believe me, look it up. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. I've got a couple of versions of this song, including the original we'll play later, but this is one of my favorite songs, especially this time of year. This is Lana Del Rey. It's sort of an updated version of the song Season of the Witch. And as I mentioned during the crosstalk with Newell, that's not a song about Kamala Harris. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be back on WWL. It is Halloween afternoon, 2024. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Since it's Halloween day, I want to talk about the scariest thing to you about Kamala Harris. What's the scariest thing to you about Kamala Harris? There might be several things, but what's the scariest thing about her? And for the rest of you, what's the scariest thing about Donald Trump? If you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Scoot, I just want to ask that last caller who called and, said 40 different nasty remarks about Trump. Just one question. Are you better off now than you was 4 years ago? That's my question to him. Because
I don't think you should ask everybody that question. Joe,
going in the wrong direction.
I don't think you should ask everybody that question because a lot of people are better off than they were 4 years ago. So do you want them to vote for Kamala Harris if they're better off, or do you still want them to vote for Trump?
No, but I want to know how they better off. You tell me, Scoot. You tell me, are you better off than you was 4 years ago?
Yes, I've said it many times. I'm better off than I was 4 years ago. But
they must have gave you a big raise in salary.
I don't give.
The food prices are up 25%. Gas is up. The border, the people's coming in across the border like rats. Yeah. I mean, how can you be better off now than you were 4 years ago?
I'm better off in a number of ways, Joe. I don't give Biden or Harris credit for that. It's because of my life, and a lot of people who are worse off today. Some of them made bad business decisions. It's not the administration's fault. They did bad business deals, and so they're worse off. But I don't think that's a question you really should be asking.
I understand that. But when the polls say 79% of the country is headed in the wrong direction, how could you possibly vote for this woman?
Okay. What is the scariest thing? We're talking about this today. What is the scariest thing about Kamala Harris?
I want to answer that question. That's a good topic to get on. The scariest thing about Kamala Harris, to me, she don't scare me. The people who's calling in your show, them radical liberal Democrats, they scare me to death. She doesn't scare me at all.
Well, how can that be scary then? There's nothing scary about her to you?
That's why she don't scare me.
There's nothing scary about her to you?
No.
Nothing about her scares you?
I know she's the word salad champion of America. Okay. I know that. She can't answer a question. I do know
Is that
and
scary?
And if the Democrats don't agree with that, they lying too.
All right, can I put that down? She won't answer a question?
That's right. Every interview, she can't answer a question. She circles back. She goes to a different. All she can tell you is that she's from a middle-class family. Give me a break. She wants to be the president.
Joe, have you said anything negative about
Democrats?
Have you said anything negative about Kamala Harris?
Did I say anything negative about
her? No, I'm asking you, have you said, I mean, I think you've called it, I think you've said ugly things about her, haven't you?
I think she's incompetent. I don't think, you know, she got this nomination without a vote. They're on Joe Biden right down the street, and all these people are going to vote for her. How
can
she run be the president of the United States? Donald Trump ran this country for 4 years, no wars.
But he lost.
The border
How did he
was
lose
pretty
the election?
Much closed. Inflation
How did he lose
was
it?
Down. How can
Joe,
anyone
Joe,
vote
Joe,
for Kamala?
Joe, don't just see this is me. Joe. This is you're doing what a lot of Republicans do. They don't want to hear answers. They don't want to hear responses. They want to talk over you. And you're constantly talking over me, and that's not fair, and it doesn't do good
for
your cause.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. Listen, if you say ugly things about Kamala Harris, then why doesn't somebody else have the right to say ugly things about Trump? I mean, you make it seem like this caller didn't even
have
the right to do that.
I don't have no problem with that.
Well, you called up and you wanted to say, you know, you were kind of attacking the guy.
Sometimes when I hear these people calling your show, retired military people and the things they say, and that man that just hung up with all that diatribe or nasty crap on Trump. I mean, well, I don't understand it. I feel like sometimes I'm in outer space.
Well, Joe, for some people, you are in outer space. And then for you, other people are in outer space. I mean, everybody doesn't agree. And there are a lot of people who don't agree with you. There are a lot of people who agree with you. I mean, that's what makes up America.
Well, all I can say is I hope my black brothers and sisters come out in force, because we want to win big, my brothers and sisters. Get your black sisters and your black wives and get them voting. That's what makes up America.
Well, wait, you say black wives. I mean, you make it sound like everybody who's African-American has numerous wives. All right.
Yeah, listen, something happened with his connection. As a black person, I don't think Joe's a good representative. He's not going to convince me by the way he called the show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm quite sure there are some reasons why a black person may want to vote for Donald Trump, but Joe from Netter is not the arbiter of the person to convince me.
And the other thing is, you know, Caucasian people have different opinions. So why can't African Americans have different opinions? Some African Americans are for Trump. Some African Americans are for Kamala Harris. I mean, every African American doesn't have the same common opinion because they're human beings. So anyway, so you can see the conversation's already getting a little scary. If you've got a comment, the Oakenhaar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We'll come back and into the next hour, we'll get to more of your calls and more of your text messages. It's Halloween 2024. On the Scoot on the A-Rock Culture Calendar, this was the number one song on this day in 1964. And I'll tell you what's amazing about that. You know, we think about the Beatles coming out in February of 1964, and I always talk about, on the calendar, how the Beatles dominated the music charts. It's true, the Beatles and the British Invasion groups did dominate the music charts, but there were a lot of powerful R&B songs that made it to the top as well, including this one, Baby Love by the Supremes, number one on this day in 1964. All right. Coming up, we'll talk about the whole fear of Halloween candy being laced with poison or apples or fruit having needles or razors in it. I mean, what about that? Did that really happen? Do you have any reason to be concerned about tonight? We'll talk about that. I mean, maybe there's reason for some concern. I'll explain that as well. You know, we can talk about the Saints. I love what Derek Carr said. He's coming back this week, it looks like. And he says, I'm going to be a psychopath when I come back. Where's that kind of attitude with this Saints team? You know, as they lose, the more they lose, the more lethargic they seem to get. And so where's that enthusiasm? I mean, some of the players are doing it, but as a team, they're certainly not doing it. I'll do a review of the singing Trump last night, and we've got a lot to get to. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Happy Halloween, and we're coming back with more of your comments. Also, next hour, another cover of the song Season of the Witch. Kinds of costumes for Halloween. You know, some people are funny clowns. I'm not talking about evil clowns. Evil clowns, that's a whole different category. You know, it's really cool. Somebody on West End Boulevard, coming from the interstate to the lakefront, some house on West End Boulevard has at their drain, they have a red balloon at the drain and then some kind of caution tape. And it's just like the movie It. It's really, really creative. So, you know, Halloween does kind of have an evil tone to it. It's about being scared. And it goes back to, you know, scaring the spirits based on a pagan belief. But Halloween does have, you know, there are fun, innocent costumes, but there are also evil costumes. And years ago, and I'm so glad that this has subsided, but years ago, there was a lot of talk about Halloween being a satanic holiday. That celebrating Halloween is a way of introducing kids into the occult. I'm sure there's some people who believe that. I mean, if you believe that, and if you want to share your thoughts with us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You know, Halloween was always just an innocent holiday for kids. And yet, there were adults who turned it into this really evil holiday. Kids would have never thought about Satan. Even though there were, like, maybe devil costumes out there, kids weren't thinking about worshiping Satan. And I remember when I was a kid, Halloween was just a fun, innocent time, and you couldn't wait to get home from school, and you had your costume ready to go, and you went out trick-or-treating in your neighborhood. Some of you can trick-or-treat in your neighborhoods. Some of you can't because there are a lot of people that don't participate. You know, people are isolated. People are skeptical. People are afraid. And not every neighborhood really participates. I don't think there's anything wrong with kids going to a neighborhood that is very active in terms of trick-or-treating. And I think it's sad that all kids can't just go out in their neighborhood. But that's the way it used to be. But I just remember Halloween being just a fun, innocent time. And it wasn't until adults came along and they were looking for reasons to think that the devil was everywhere. And based on your religious beliefs, you can believe the devil's everywhere. But the devil is not lurking in Halloween trick-or-treating. The devil's not lurking in Halloween costumes, trying to lure children into worshiping him. I don't believe that. And, you know, there was a lot of talk, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I guess 20 years ago, there was a lot of talk, and it lasted for a while, about Halloween being an evil holiday and a way of introducing kids to Satan. And I just don't believe that. A lot of schools changed Halloween parties to the fall harvest party or something like that. They wanted to remove Halloween from schools. And, you know, there's always been a bigger threat to Halloween than there was to Christmas. So I guess there was a war on Halloween for a while. But I'm glad we collectively as a nation seem to have gotten over that. You know, if you want to share your opinions with us, if you're concerned about Halloween, you can certainly call the show. But I don't hear the talk that I used to hear. There were people on Fox, there were people in the media who were talking about this. The news people would interview people who were bringing up this whole issue of, you know, the children's young innocent minds are being lured into the occult. I mean, that's ridiculous. Halloween is just a fun time to go trick or treating. Now, I don't know if we want to get into this later. We probably shouldn't. But, you know, I remember hearing gags that people would pull, pranks that people would pull during Halloween. When I got to be a teenager, you know, I wasn't old enough to drive or really, you know, do anything really fun. So, you know, around the neighborhood, kids did pranks. You know, like they would, I didn't do it, but they some kids would fill a bag, a brown bag, like a sandwich bag, a brown bag, full of like dog poo. Because see, the dogs pooed in public. I mean, the dogs pooed all over the place. Now everybody picks it up. But I mean, you could go to somebody's yard, and you could go to anybody's front yard and find dog poo. Sometimes you'd step on it and walk in the house, and oh my God, no, it was really awful. But anyway, you could find dog poo. So they would put dog poo in a bag, and they would light the bag on fire and then ring the doorbell. And so then the owner of the house would come out, see the bag on fire, and try to stomp out the fire with his foot, stomping on all the poo. I'm not suggesting that anybody do that, but, you know, that was one of the pranks that you know, I remember some kids doing. I think the only thing that I did was I rang a couple of doorbells and ran. So, yeah, if you were in my neighborhood, I might have rung the doorbell with a couple of kids. We rang the doorbell and ran, and then we walked by and somebody's out, anybody here? Anybody here? But that's the worst that I did. But, you know, once in a while, you'd hear about a prank that was really kind of inappropriate. All right, it is Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. I know that Bourbon Street and Frenchman are going to be packed tonight with people out celebrating Halloween. And, you know, we're talking about politics, too, because, you know, this is a really, you know, it's a scary time. Politics are as scary as Halloween. So we're talking about that as well. Let me briefly give you a review of the Singing Trump last night at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. I was there. This was a fundraiser for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. A lot of fun people there. I really enjoyed conversations like, you know, some people said, listen every day, love the show. And then I'll get a comment from a guy, and he was so sincere. And he said, Scoot, man, I love your show. You go way back. I don't always agree with you, but keep doing what you're doing. And don't anybody worry. I'm going to continue doing what I do. Nobody's going to scare us off. We're going to continue to do this. And, you know, it's just about opinions. And I appreciate the fact that people who don't always agree with me still enjoy the show. My goal is to make this entertaining above everything else. And I have my opinions and you have your opinions, but the overall presentation and energy of the show is about just being entertaining. So the Singing Trump, it's a guy who is a great impersonator. In fact, when I think about Rich Little and Frank Gorshin, and I think about some of the great impressionists of the past, I don't remember seeing an impressionist who is better than this guy. And the show was well put together, really tight. And I mean, this guy went from one impression to the next. And there was either video or a picture behind him on the stage. And the Jefferson Performing Arts Center is just an incredible venue. It's a great place to see anything. So the guy was also an unbelievable singer, a really, really talented singer. And so he's dressed like Trump, comes out like a dark suit, red tie, hair, makeup. He looks like Trump. And he sounds like Trump. And he stayed in character the whole time. I mean, he was Trump. If he was not doing an impression, he was Donald Trump. And, you know, this was not about... this was not about anything other than making America laugh again. And I know there were Trump supporters there who were just having fun. And I appreciate that they just, you know, came out to have a good time because that's what they were there for. Jefferson Parish Council member Jennifer Van Franken, man, you should have seen the skin tight Trump dress she was wearing. I might have to post that on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Yeah, she did a little talk before he came out, and then she introduced Billy Nungesser. But it was a really entertaining show. As I said at the beginning of our show, when he first started, I thought, I don't know. I mean, is this going to be entertaining for an hour and a half? I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical here. And I'll tell you know, a few minutes after that, you know, it continued, and the guy was funny, said funny stuff. He said, my name, he opened up by saying, my name is Donald J. Trump. The J stands for genius. And he said, look, we're going to build a wall. Mexico's going to pay for it. We're going to build a wall. Or maybe we'll build a fence. Or maybe a step stool. And China built a great wall. And there are no Mexicans in China, so we're going to build a great wall and keep the Mexicans out. At one point, one of the people he was impersonating said, hey, Trump, lay off the tanning bed or you might get so dark you have to deport yourself. So there was some funny stuff in there. There was one serious moment that I was not expecting. Donald Trump, in character, Donald Trump was talking about his dad. And after that, they went into the song The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics. Coleman, you want to cue that up if you could? Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years. And kind of cue it up to In the Living Years. You've got time to do that. He talked about his, you know, as Trump, he talked about his dad. And, you know, I don't know that much about his dad, except that his dad gave him money. But he talked about his dad saying, dream big, talking about dreaming big. And he said that that really stuck with him all his life. And he sort of lamented, you know, again, he's speaking as Donald Trump. He lamented that his dad never saw him reach his biggest success. His dad never saw him become president. And I could so relate to that because I remember when my dad was sick, my dad had never seen me work. And man, when I first started in the business, my dad thought, oh, all this Scoot stuff, that, you know, that's ridiculous. Son, you sound stupid on the air. And as I got popular, started to get popular, my dad, you know, he bought into it. He was really, really proud of me. And I'd call up and he'd go, hey, Scoot, how's it going? So my dad totally understood that, but my dad had never seen me work. And I tell you this story because if you have somebody in your life that you want to do something with, do it. And don't wait. And do it as often as you can, because I have this regret. My dad was sick, so I was on the air in Portland. No, I was on the air in Denver. It was Denver. And my dad was very sick. And the plan was I was going to go do the show at one of our stations in Dallas so my dad could come actually watch me do the show. Well, my dad was so sick when I was there that he couldn't come to the studio to watch me do the show. So my sister and brother-in-law came instead. 2 weeks after that, my dad passed away. So if there's something that you want to do, do it. And I could so relate to Donald Trump saying that his dad didn't see him reach his biggest dreams. And, you know, while my dad knew I was a success as Scoot, you know, my dad hasn't experienced, you know, a lot of my success. And it's sad. If my dad were alive today, he would be totally disagreeing with my politics. He would think I was insane. He would wonder if he's really my father. He was very, very political and very animated. Do you have that song, In the Living Years? And so as character, Donald Trump, talking about his dad, this was a serious moment of the show last night. He went in and sang this song, The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics. I don't know how long it's going to take to get to the lyrics, but we'll see if this works out. In fact, Coleman, let's just go to break with the song. And the interesting thing about this was that, you know, here's this guy imitating Donald Trump. But when he went into talking about his dad, you know, you really believe that it was Donald Trump's, the real Donald Trump's point of view. So this was ultimately, the show was kind of a promotion of Donald Trump and not making fun of Donald Trump, but just laughing. So here's a part of this song. And it's about doing stuff in the living years. All right, we have to get to a break here. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls and your texts coming up. And also, since it's Halloween, let's talk about this. What is the scariest thing to you about Kamala Harris? And what is the scariest thing to you about Donald Trump? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Remember when this video first came out on MTV, and, you know, I watched a lot of MTV back in that day, and my son saw this quite often, and there were times in this video that scared him a little bit. It was a brilliant video. It was one of those videos that was, it was like a story. It was almost like a mini movie unto itself. Great Halloween music. It's Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser has called in to join us. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to the show. Last night was a lot of fun.
Thank you, my friend. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I just heard the story about your father and brought a tear to my eye and wanted to share with you the singing Trump had a similar story about visiting his mom. But as a kid, he used to imitate people to make her laugh because she was always depressed. And then he went into acting and got on the soap opera because she only watched soap operas all day and got to see him on the soap operas. And then later he got to visit with her before she passed. But great, great night and very entertaining guy. And it was a lot of fun. Thanks for being there. And I am going to buy perfume.
All right. Listen, buy perfume for my girlfriend, you know, your wife, who, you know, she looks great last night. Listen, Billy, last night was a lot of fun. I was really impressed with the talent, as you just heard me talking about it. Very funny. You say you're going to bring him back for Mardi Gras?
Yeah, we invite him back for Mardi Gras. He does a lot of different stuff besides imitating Trump. As you saw last night, he's got a whole nother show. So, absolutely. I met a friend for life. He's a great guy and just got so many great stories. He had me laughing at dinner the night before all night, and he just loves entertaining and making people laugh. And God knows we need a little more of that.
Boy, we do. Hey, what about Jennifer Van Franken's address last night? Was that a little tight? Trump was really kind of wrapped around her derriere.
Yeah, she said she ordered that from China. Go figure. But I think she bought a side. Yeah, it was. She was looking pretty good. She's got the figure for it.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a tight Trump dress. I might even post a picture of it on my Facebook page. But Lieutenant Governor, I hope it was a good fundraiser for you. A lot of great people there, and I was really impressed. And you heard me just talking about it. I thought the guy was really, really awesome, and it was fun to get together and laugh. And I'm so glad that a lot of Trump supporters were there, just having fun with this guy who is having fun with the Trump character, because Trump is a character.
And, you know, we had a lot of Democrats there that were there to laugh and have a good time as well. And that's what it's all about, us coming together and make Louisiana laugh again.
All right, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, thanks and good luck in the election. I know how it's going to turn out for you, but anyway, good luck.
Happy Halloween, my friend.
Same to you. All right, let's go to, we'll go to Slidell and Kevin. You're on WWL. Hey, Kevin, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
I'm a first-time caller. Listen.
First-time caller? No, wait
listening.
A minute.
Yes, sir.
Hang on. You can't just get away with calling in as a first-time caller. This is a moment to remember. It's a moment to recognize all these years, and you finally call in. All right, glad you called in.
Yes, sir.
What has you calling in today?
Okay, listen. I'm clearly not understanding how the Trump supporters, or whatever you want to call it, their calculation and their slogan, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? To the best of my knowledge, were not we in a global pandemic, in the height of a pandemic where millions had died around the world?
Yeah.
I'm not understanding. How are you better off when every graveyard was getting filled up? You couldn't even put people in the ground.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible question to ask,
that.
And it doesn't
how
serve the purpose that it's supposed to serve.
Yes.
No, most people are not. Most people
today
are better off.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, and you're right. The ones that left this world, this evil world, those are better off.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope not. I mean, I'm positive about today. I'm positive. I mean, I love my life. I'm positive about my life, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm better off than I was 4 years ago, but that's not going to make me vote for Kamala Harris. So I think that's really, it's such a cliche, and I think it's a ridiculous question. Let's go to Nick Uptown. Nick, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show. Okay, let's go to Irvin. Irvin, welcome to WWL. Happy Halloween.
Hey, happy Halloween. It's unseasonable, but it's Halloween. I want to address real quick my fellow Republicans. We've gone over this before. Concerning inflation, it was due to COVID. It was worldwide. productions were being shut down, supply chains were being broken, and once the COVID was over with, it took a while for everything to ramp back up. And so inflation was not just an American thing. It was around the world. And in fact, if we get to our goal of 2.3%, we're beating most of the civilized world. Secondly, the border. One more time. A president can do Band-Aids on the border. But the legislative branch that makes laws will have to come together, make laws concerning the border, and then the president, who is the executive, can carry out those laws. Now, I want to go on to what I called for. It's never happened before, but we need it more now than ever. I wish both parties and representatives of both candidates would reach out to each other and get both candidates to agree to go on a simulcast. They don't have to be in the same place, same room, split screen, and both of them make a statement that they will respect the vote of the American people no matter which way the election goes. And they can hold, you know, until the legislature confirms the vote, which is in January. But this would take a lot of ease and pain off of all the divisiveness in this country if both candidates would just get on air and both pledge to respect the election results.
You know, I love that idea. I love the idea, Irvin. We know it's not going to happen, but the fact that you mentioned it, the fact that it's not going to happen, says a lot about the candidates. They should do that. Now, that doesn't mean it could be discovered that there was widespread voter fraud to the point where it changed the outcome of the election. That would come later. But initially, once a winner is declared, both candidates and both camps and both sides should accept the outcome of the election. I mean, I already got a video on my Facebook page from somebody, something about stolen ballots or something. I mean, are you starting with that already? And there's voter irregularities in every election, but never to the point of overturning the outcome of the election. And I don't even know when this video came from. This could have been from years ago. So many people are suckers. And they just post anything that comes along that might not even be relevant. It might be from years ago. And I almost pity the people who are so quick to confirm their bias by accepting and promoting things that aren't even relevant. They're from the past. All right, let's go to James on the North Shore. Hey, James.
Hey, Scoot. Happy Halloween, man. Thanks for having me on. My favorite day. So last night on PBS, they had a, it's called Secrets of the Dead. It's one of the shows they play each week. Last night it was about vampires, but not real vampires, but people seen as vampires. Kind of like what you're talking about with this fear around Halloween and people thinking people are evil. They found these, it was a field with a bunch of graves in the field. And in these fields, they call these deviant burials. Because they found that the people buried in this field either had stones put on all over their body so they couldn't raise from the dead. One had a blade, a sword across its neck, so if it was to raise up, it would chop its neck off. And this is real. I mean, this is what they found from hundreds of years ago. And this is on, if anyone wants to look it up, Secret of the Dead. And it's about the vampire that came on last night. It was so interesting that they found it. There was 70-something different burials. There were 70 lives that people thought these people were so evil that they killed them, buried them, threw stones all on them, or put blades across their necks to keep them in the grave. So that's what scares me about Kamala Harris. Is that she don't get elected, and we got to deal with stuff like that, you know. And then last night, I had an opportunity to call into On the Media. They did a special last night, and they were asking, how is the media handling this election? And I called in, and I talked to him about what I've talked to you about, you know, young middle-aged men being the FU vote that's out there that's trying to GameStop the election right now. And the one guy, I forget his name. Everyone heard this dude. He's if you knew heard his voice, you know who he is. But he asked me, well, what could we do what can we do to do stuff for the middle-aged men? Oh, my God, just even for me, example, I'd like to see more the stuff of the music we like. Or like UFC, Dana White has found that UFC goes so much with the middle-aged men out there, and Trump, too. That's why Trump has all these supporters that are middle-aged men. I mean, you got the UFC, you got the fighters, Trump, you know what I'm saying? And then you got the mainstream media who just totally does nothing for these for our age men. Like, I thought, like, no, I would like to see, like, more stuff of, like, metal music. Because, I mean, right now, metal is blowing up all over the world. I mean, there's bands local here who are going to Europe. I mean, every other month or so, Crowbar or Downs going over to Europe, going all across the United States, playing big old festivals. There's so much money pouring into it. And I think more if the mainstream media pays some attention to these guys and kind of got them more to where they're not just so hateful towards the mainstream media and they're so after the mainstream media. If they've seen stuff that looked more like them in the media being advertised towards them, we could get rid of some of that hate out there.
You know, I'd like to think that that could happen. You know, again, I go back to the basic premise that the media reflects the society it perceives to be watching or the society that they want to be watching. So they cater to their perceived audience. And, I know you, James, because you've shown up at a couple of places where we've been broadcasting. And, I would describe you in a very positive way as a very eccentric person. You're very eccentric. You're a little different. And so for somebody like you, I can see where you might feel alienated by a lot of things that you see in the mainstream media because, and take this as a compliment, not everybody's like you. All right, if you've got a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. I'm still to come. We've got to get to this idea that Halloween candy was poisoned, that there were razor blades and needles and apples and candy and kids died on Halloween because of what they got for trick-or-treating. What about all of this? Well, we'll tell you about that coming up. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on this Halloween afternoon on WWL. Happy Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Halloween 2024. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Virginia. Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hey, Scoot. Can you hear me?
How are you? Yes, I can.
How are you doing?
Good.
So, addressing your question of what scares me, Joe.
Yeah, we're talking about, since it's Halloween, what scares you most about Kamala Harris or Donald Trump?
Nothing. They're human, and they're making us react like they want us to react. They're manipulating our thoughts and minds. Mm-hmm. And with what their actions are doing. So one is to the extreme, and the other one is political. And whichever one wins, we're stuck with what they win when they win for the next 4 years based on our voting. But what really scares me is Joe.
Oh, the caller we had earlier, Joe.
Yeah, Joe scares me.
You know, there's some callers that scare me, too. I get that.
He's almost a Janus.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I mean, they're very passionate. The problem is that they're so myopic in their thinking, they can't consider anything out of bounds. I bet neither one of them ever colored outside of the lines. And, you know, there are no matter how much you like somebody, there are negative things. And so often Americans now get so locked onto something that they can't ever bring themselves to be honest about the negative aspects of that. And when you don't understand the negative aspects of somebody who is mere human, then I think you lose a lot of credibility.
Either side, Trump or Harris, they're pushing what we react to, what we, the voters, react to. And if, you know, the question that, you know, are we better off today? Well, that's subjective.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah. And then you have to decide, well, am I better off or worse off? And is the fault of the administration or is it my fault? Am I better off because of me? Am I worse off because of me?
Just like you said before, in other days when you come on the air, you're responsible for you and only you. And makes you happy makes you happy. What makes you sad makes you sad. We are individuals, and we are responsible for our own emotions. So when you let someone else come in and trigger those emotions, you're giving them the fuel.
Boy, that's so true. You know, emotion is such a big part of this election cycle. And Michael, as I've said many times on the show, as a nation, we can hear all the threats we want to hear, because that's part of campaigning. But we as Americans should not accept the emotional burden of that, because we're going to be okay. We are going to survive this. And if somebody, for example, doesn't want to leave office when his term's up, he will be taken out. I mean, he will be literally taken out of office. So nobody's going to stay there forever. There may be attempts, but, you know, we've got enough sensible people in this country. I know it's hard to believe, but we're going to survive this, and we're going to be okay. So I don't think anybody should buy into the fear factor that if so-and-so wins, democracy's over, because I refuse to believe that. Michael, I appreciate the call and what you said. Also appreciate your listening in Virginia. If you're on hold, stay with us. We will get to more of your calls coming up. I want to remind you that coming up next Wednesday, Election Day is Tuesday, the day after Election Day, I'm going to be live. Our show's going to be live on location in Gretna. We're going to be at the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank, the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank in Gretna at 2000 Bell Chase Highway in Gretna, Wednesday afternoon from 1 to 4. It's going to be the day after the election. So we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll also be talking about this great new location of Bonvenue Bank. So join us for that. Join us on the air or join us in person. That's going to be next Wednesday. All right. So we've got Thursday Night Football tonight. You'll hear that on WWL. 6-2 Houston Texans take on the 2-6 New York Jets. You know, Aaron Rodgers has turned into, in my opinion, such an a-hole. I'm glad to see him losing. I mean, I really am. There's just something about him that just, you know, he just became arrogant, kind of an a-hole. So you know what, Aaron? I'm kind of glad you're losing right now. So I'm pulling for the Texans. Plus, I love the success story of the Texans. With a young quarterback and a young coach, I love what they're doing, and it shows that it can be done. But also, Tulane plays Charlotte tonight. Tulane is 6-2. Charlotte is 3-5, and that I think is a 6:30 kickoff, and you will hear that. You'll see that on ESPN. All right, here is another version of one of my favorite songs this time of year, Season of the Witch. This is the Joan Jett version. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Well, here's something kind of scary. If you remember Vanilla Ice, baby. If you remember Vanilla Ice when you were really young, on the SOTA Rock Culture calendar today, Vanilla Ice is 57 years old. Wow. Does it seem like it that long ago? No. But that's kind of a milestone in life for some of you who grew up with Vanilla Ice. He's 57 years old today. All right, we're going to continue to talk about the scariest thing about Kamala Harris. What is the scariest thing to you about Donald Trump? And also, when are you too old to trick-or-treat? You know, there's that point when, you know, somebody comes trick-or-treating and they might be a little older and they might seem kind of suspicious. And also, we will set the record straight on that whole fear of just that frenzy about Halloween candy being tainted with poison. Did you believe that? I believed it for a while. But we got the truth about that coming up in the next hour. I'm Scoot on the air. Happy Halloween, and we'll be back on WWL. Recognize this band? That is Duran Duran doing a cover of the Electric Light Orchestra classic hit Evil Woman. It's Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's go right to the Channel 4 Forecast Center. And Chris Franklin, the chief meteorologist, joins us from Channel 4. Chris, good afternoon.
Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm concerned about the rain. You know, a lot of people, including myself, are planning on going out and having some fun tonight. Does it look like there's a time when the rain is going to hit?
We're getting it now. It's kind of scattered in nature. Thankfully, it looks like the bulk will stay a little bit more west of us, maybe kind of approaching the Baton Rouge area later on this evening. Right now, there's kind of a fairly solid line toward Lafayette. That may inch a little closer to Baton Rouge, but I think most of southeast Louisiana will be spared any torrential downpours. It'll be more scattered, kind of briefly moving through. Most of the rainfall shouldn't be heavy, but a few isolated pockets could have a bit of a downpour. I don't think that's going to stop any festivities this evening with so many block parties and just going down on Frenchman, Bourbon Street tonight. I would just have an umbrella or a rain jacket to accompany your Halloween costume.
Man, one of the greatest costumes would be to be that killer in the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer, because he was wearing slicker,
great.
You know?
Yeah, just
walk around with a giant hook.
You get the hook, the rain slicker, you're good to go.
That's right. That's a great idea. Perfect. So basically just scattered showers. And the timing on this?
It's going to be with us throughout. I mean, we've got some rain on radar right now. It doesn't look like it's going to really increase in intensity too much through the next several hours. So, you know, it's going to be one of these hit or miss type showers. More miss than hit, it looks like, for the trick-or-treat time and going right past midnight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's as good a news as we can get.
Nothing severe. Right, exactly. No flooding rain. Well, I wish the front was coming through. The front is helping to trigger all these storms, but we're not getting into the cool air this week, so we're going to start November warm. In fact, our low this morning at Kenner was 75. The normal high is 76, so we're only cooling down to about what our normal high should be this time of year.
Yeah, and let's talk about this for just one moment. So there's nothing for the next week or maybe two in terms of cooler weather?
The models have been picking up on a front, an upper trough, pushing a front through the end of next week and next weekend. So this first weekend of November, warm, humid. It does look dry, so any plans this weekend looks like it'll be all right. Next weekend is when it looks like we may get a real cold front to knock high temperatures back into the 70s. Not anything extreme, but... Yeah. Kind of sending us back to where we are supposed to be for this time of year.
Is this late cooling any indication that we'll have a cooler spring, that the cooler weather is going to last longer into spring?
No, it really is kind of timing out with what looked to be more of a milder winter for us. So this is kind of what we're expecting. Yeah. Not necessarily that it's going to stay warm the entire winter, but and not to say you don't get an occasional, you know, cold blast, an Arctic blast of cold air. It just likes, on the average, our winter is likely going to be milder or warmer than average.
You know, Chris, I always had a lot of fun with you talking about Eric Paulson. And,
I thought the same thing.
That was just a tribute to the fact that Eric Paulson was just an enormous personality, and he gave us something to talk about. And if you're kind of having fun with somebody, that just it just shows you the magnitude of their personality.
And he always said, if I'm making fun of you, it means I like you. And so that was always, so I thought, all right, well, can you stop liking me so much? Because this is getting ridiculous. But he was one of those people that, you know, people would ask, is like, is he really mean? Is he, I'm like, what you see on TV is how he is, but he is really a nice guy. It just comes across sometimes as maybe the ornery guy, but that was just his personality. And he liked having fun with people. And if that was kind of poking fun and then you could poke fun at him, that was just how he interacted with people. And if he was poking fun at you, that means he liked you.
And I liked him, and when we talked about him, or I would say things about Eric Paulson in the newsroom there with you, it was all meant in good fun and never ever mean spirited.
No, and he took it as such. You know, he could say something about you, but you knew he was joking, and you know the public doesn't always know, is he really serious? And it was, no, he's not serious. This is kind of how we have fun with each other, and how he really interacted with, you know, his friends, coworkers, going back decades. I mean, that's just kind of the relationship he had. It goes back to, you know, he and Andre Trevine, and people thought that they truly hated each other. And I saw an interview with her, you know, maybe 10 plus years ago, and saying that was just how he was, that was how she was, and that was their relationship. And that was kind of his relationship with a lot of folks, was kind of being able to poke fun and have fun.
He's missed, but I can imagine how much you all miss him at Channel 4.
It's, you know, as someone growing up, having watched him as a kid, you know, just his voice, as he had even said, just is kind of an accompaniment to your morning routine. That's a big loss. And a big loss for all of us here at WWL, but a big loss for the city. And I mean, if you saw the video of the turnout for the second line that we had a couple of days ago, it was incredible to consider the turnout for a second line that was organized about 2 days beforehand. It was packed in front of our studios on North Rampart.
Yeah, I saw that. It was amazing. All right, Chief Meteorologist, Channel 4, Chris Franklin, as always, thank you.
Scoot, good to talk to you.
All right. Let's go to CJ, who's been on hold for a while. CJ, thanks for hanging on. Happy Halloween. Welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, you know, you're my favorite. You know, when I travel a lot. So when I travel and I miss your radio show, it's like I missed a meal during the day. So, you know, I get hungry every time I get back to New Orleans or in the area. I was like, I'm back, Scoot.
I appreciate that. But I'll remind you, you know, download the Odyssey app and you got us anywhere you got your phone.
I mean, even when I'm on the airplane sometimes, sometimes I'm in the air and I'm like, I can't get you. So I do my best.
I appreciate that very much. I appreciate that, CJ.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, let me say this. First of all, Ms. Harris doesn't really scare me, but whatever she does, I don't think it's going to – I think we can handle it. Mr. Trump, you know, and on the other hand, whatever he does, I tell you, I don't know what's going to happen after that. But you asked a question. You said, are we better today than we were 4 years ago? I'll be very honest with you. I think I'm less stressed and I have less anxiety. When Mr. Trump was in office, I had anxiety. Everybody around had anxiety. My niece called me today. She said, Uncle, I am petrified. She said, you know, I'm young, and I don't know what's going to happen. She said, but I was so stressed out the last when Mr. Trump was in office, I just didn't know what to do. And it's almost like the Wizard of Oz movie. Oh, my God, it's over with so we can breathe again. So that's really where that is. And, you know, I don't know if he's trying to fulfill a prophecy. I have no clue, but it is a very stressful moment that's about to happen again. And, you know, I'm back and forth from Louisiana, Mississippi, and, you know, and we just don't know what's going to happen. And I'd be very honest with you. So I just pray that everybody be in peace and you can go from there.
Yeah, and tell your niece to try not to stress out, because we're going to just remind her that we're going to survive this, and we will. You know, one side thinks it's going to be terrible if the other one wins, and the other side feels the same way. But, you know, I'm here to remind you, we are going to survive this, and I'll be here after it's all over to talk about it. But, CJ, I do appreciate the call. All right, Associated Press correspondent Ben Thomas reports that Kamala Harris and Donald Trump both completed a day of swing state campaigning in the battleground state of Wisconsin.
How do you like my garbage truck?
The showman coming out in Donald Trump on a visit to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
It's in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Climbing into a garbage truck with his name on the side to draw attention to a comment made by President Biden.
Joe Biden should be ashamed of himself if he knows what he's even doing. And she should be ashamed because she shouldn't let him do it.
Trump and other Republicans have tried to change the narrative after a comedian at a weekend Trump rally disparaged Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage.
I don't know anything about the comedian. I don't know who he is. I've never seen him.
Vice President Kamala Harris at a rally in Madison, Wisconsin.
Look, unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy. He wants to put them in jail. I'll give them a seat at my table.
I'm Ben Thomas.
All right. Vice President Kamala Harris says that she's very different from Donald Trump when it comes to someone that disagrees with you.
And I pledge then to listen to experts, to those who will be impacted by the decisions I make, and to people who disagree with me. Because look, unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy. He wants to put them in jail. I'll give them a seat at my table.
I think this is a really strong campaign issue for Kamala Harris. She says Donald Trump wants to ban abortions nationwide.
He would ban abortion nationwide. Yes, even here in Wisconsin. And he would restrict access to birth control, put IVF treatments at risk, and force states, listen to this, force states to monitor women's pregnancies. Just Google Project 2025.
And Vice President Harris says that the United States must move on from Donald Trump's division. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that one? Okay, let's go to Donald Trump says, I can tell you who the real garbage is, but I won't say that.
250 million people are not garbage. I can tell you who the real garbage is, but we won't say that.
Yeah, I mean, look, he implied that, the Democrats are the garbage. Well, if Donald Trump says the Republicans are garbage or Trump supporters are garbage and Trump implies that the Democrats are garbage, I mean, they both did the same thing. So Trump says that I can tell you, who the real, we already went through that. Sorry, get a little mixed up here. Former President Trump says that Elon Musk advocates for paper ballots and same-day voting.
And he said, for purposes of voting, because there's never a computer that's not easily cracked, easily if you're a genius, more difficult if you're less than a genius. But he said the best way to have an election is very simple. Paper ballots, voter ID, proof of citizenship, same day voting. And he said same day voting.
There's no reason to believe that the voting machines used are not accurate. Unless, of course, you can't accept reality. And Fox News paid a hell of a lot of money continuing to promote the idea that the Dominion voting machines were creating fraud. They paid a lot of money. And you've still got stupid people like Marjorie Taylor Greene out there spreading that same ridiculous rumor. Are they already planning for a loss? Do they already think Trump's going to lose? Is that why they're planning all of this? So former President Trump says, about Elon Musk and the paper ballots, it's a nice idea, but I guarantee you they're going to find a way to say that that was fraudulent or that it really wasn't real. I mean, there should be IDs given. Anybody who votes should show an ID. I've never voted and not have to show an ID. This is not the issue that some people seem to think that it is. Now, Trump says that Harris and Biden have treated our country like garbage, and he said our country is suffering right now.
You are not subhuman. And we know it's what they believe because look how they've treated you. They've treated you like garbage, frankly. They've treated you like garbage. You know what? The truth is they've treated our whole country like garbage, whether they meant to or not, because they're grossly incompetent people, and they've destroyed our country. Our country is suffering right now.
No, they didn't destroy our country, Donald. Stop dissing America. It's a great country, and I love living here. I'm a patriotic American, and it insults me when I hear people say this country is garbage, or this country is worthless, or this country is ruined. It's not ruined. And a lot of people are doing a lot better now than they were 4 years ago, even outside of the pandemic. But I'm just, I'm tired of hearing about this country being trashed. This is a great country. You can all talk about America, make America great again all you want, but this is still a great country right now. And the Biden administration did not ruin it any more than you ruined it when you were in office. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. All right, when we come back, I want to just talk about this myth that Halloween candy is dangerous. We'll talk about that coming up, because it was an entire hoax. The whole thing was a hoax. I'll explain. Oh, yeah. There'll be some freaks out tonight. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. I saw that movie, Five Nights at Freddy's. This is a song from it, from the movie. I saw that movie, and, it reminds me of going to Chuck E. Cheese with my son years ago and seeing those animated creatures, and some of the animated creatures in Five Nights at Freddy's were not so nice. I'm Scoot on the air. Happy Halloween. The idea that there are evildoers lurking in the dark on Halloween with the intent of harming young children who are innocently trick-or-treating fits the macabre ambiance of Halloween. News stories of children dying from eating poison candy that they received trick-or-treating on Halloween night have appeared in the credible media. The fear of children being given poison candy or edible items with needles or razor blades on Halloween dates back to the industrial age, but it really peaked in America in the mid-80s. I was doing the morning show on B97 in the mid-80s here in New Orleans, and during that time, I recall promoting that a local hospital was offering parents the opportunity to have their children's Halloween candy X-rayed free. And I remember promoting this on the air. And I really truly believed that this was a problem. Now, at the time, there were legitimate concerns that, like, people were putting stuff in candy. And this was a great opportunity to get your kids' candy X-rayed. Well, how did all of this start? How did this become reality? Well, how did this become perceived reality? In 1970, the New York Times published an article that claimed those Halloween goodies that children collect this weekend on their rounds of trick-or-treating may be more horror than happiness, and that included incidents of possible tampering. Before Halloween in 1982, there was the whole tampering of Tylenol bottles in Chicago. And this was all over the news. Several people died after an unknown murderer put poison in the over-the-counter medication. The tampering of Tylenol was national news and added to the fear that even candy on Halloween was tampered. In 1985, ABC News and a Washington Post poll showed that 60% of parents in America at the time believed their children would be injured or killed by Halloween candy that had been tampered with. With all the media coverage from credible reports that children had been the victims of Halloween candy that was tampered with, laced with poison or whatever, the fun activity of trick-or-treating was shrouded in fear. But to this day, there is no evidence of any children dying as a result of Halloween candy being tampered with. The Halloween candy scare was nothing but a hoax, an urban legend. All of that credible information was based on nothing. So how did the stories gain so much attention in the media? Well, in 1959, a dentist in California, William Shine, he gave candy laced with laxatives to some kids that were trick-or-treating. No harm was done to the children, it was actually reported, but the dentist was charged with outrage of public decency and unlawful dispensing of drugs. But again, laxatives, it didn't really hurt the kids. No kids died. In 1964, a woman who was really angry, she's from Long Island, she's really angry, she handed out packages of items that were not for human consumption. Steel wool, dog biscuits, and ant poison. The ant poison was clearly marked poison. No children were injured. And the woman was prosecuted and pleaded guilty to endangering the lives of children. That same year, there was a report of lye-laced bubble gum that was handed out in Detroit and rat poison that was given out to trick-or-treaters in Philadelphia. But neither of those reports were substantiated. In 1970, a 5-year-old boy, Kevin Totson from Detroit, died after finding and eating his uncle's heroin. So to cover up the kid eating the uncle's heroin and dying, the family made up this story that the kid ate poison-laced Halloween candy. But that wasn't true. But it was reported that what the family said, that it was the Halloween candy. But the kid was dead because he consumed the uncle's heroin. In 1974, an 8-year-old boy in Deer Park, Texas, died after eating cyanide-laced pixie sticks that his father put in his pile of Halloween candy. Ronald Clark O'Brien gave his son poisonous candy to claim a recently purchased life insurance policy on his son. O'Brien was convicted and executed in 1984, 10 years later. This was one of the big stories. This 8-year-old boy died of cyanide-laced pixie sticks. But the father did it. The father did it for the purpose of getting a life insurance policy taken out on the kid. But that got a lot of attention. It got more attention. The pixie sticks being laced with cyanide got more attention than the truth. In 1978, a 2-year-old boy in Flint, Michigan died after eating Halloween candy, and initial reports promoted the idea that the candy had been laced with poison. But toxicology reports revealed no evidence of poison, and the child sadly died of natural causes. But the story was still out there initially that the kid died because of Halloween candy. In 1990, a 7-year-old girl in Santa Monica, California died while trick-or-treating, and poison-laced candy was blamed in media reports. But the young girl died from an enlarged heart. The media ran with these stories of children allegedly dying from tainted Halloween candy because they were compelling stories and they fed into the mysterious nature of Halloween. But all of the stories proved to be totally false. And even with zero evidence that children had actually been poisoned by unknown strangers lurking Halloween night, media outlets ran with the stories. All of these cases where children actually died were the result of a familiar adult putting poison in the candy, or the children died of natural causes. Fortunately, the media no longer reports these stories of tainted Halloween candy, and the media, I guess, is too busy publishing tainted stories about politics. But the fact that the media did report as fact so many stories about the evils of Halloween candy, it's just a reminder that the news media, the goal is entertainment. Whether it's a newspaper, a website, a social media platform, a broadcast, cable TV, or radio stations, the whole idea is to talk about things that attract the largest possible audience for the purpose of generating revenue. And it's really a sad testament to the media that false stories about Halloween candy got so much attention. You know, maybe it's comforting to know that all of the fear about poison-laced candy or evil figures out there lurking on Halloween was just a hoax. But nevertheless, there's a possibility of copycats. And people can copy the idea of doing this because the information's out there that the stuff was reported and people gave it a lot of attention. So there could be copycats. So I would just suggest that you inspect all of your kids' candy. And if something looks like it was opened, throw that away. It's wise. I know it's sad, but it's wise not to accept homemade treats from anybody that you don't know. So, be cautious because, there could be some copycats that go, yeah, well, maybe it didn't happen before, but I'll do it now. But really, the greatest chance of children dying on Halloween is being hit by cars. Because there are a lot of kids in neighborhoods and they dash out in the street and unfortunately they get killed. Really, not only for young kids, but up to the age of 17, the best chance of dying on Halloween is not from candy or razors and apple blades or any razors in apples or anything like that. It's from being hit by cars. So I'm glad we set the record straight on that. And the blog that I wrote about this, Tainted Halloween Candy, Real or a Hoax, it's posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can comment on it there. These are a few of the stories that I've researched and found. There are other stories out there, but these were some of the main ones that were getting a lot of attention that really created this whole frenzy. But, shame on the media for going for the sensational headline of Halloween, poison-laced Halloween candy killing kids, when in reality, it never happened. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we will be back with more of your comments here Halloween afternoon on WWL. Yeah, there'll be some people out there who are pretending to be the boogeyman. I also wonder, I wonder really how many pedophiles have actually done anything wrong to kids on Halloween, or if that's just a great fear. I mean, obviously you need to be careful because people are dressed up in costumes, but I'm going to do a little research on that like I did with the candy being such a hoax. But I wonder how much of that is just a fear, a tactic, or how much of that really happens. All right, so how old is too old to trick-or-treat? We're going to get to that in just a moment. President Biden was jokingly he was joking around with a couple of kids at the White House. There was a Halloween event there, and here's that report.
as the president and first lady Jill Biden handed out chocolate kisses and 10 spooky pumpkin books to children at the White House Halloween celebration, Mr. Biden apparently worked up an appetite. He took a playful nibble from the thigh of an infant dressed like a chicken in mom's arms and went on to munch on a couple of others. The first lady wore a panda costume in a welcome nod to the two new giant bears that have taken up residence at the National Zoo. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Biden bit a couple of the kids? Did he smell their hair? All right, how old is too old to trick-or-treat?
Trick-or-treat! Happy Halloween, kids!
Trick-or-treating is for little kids.
So how old is too old?
I always thought you were too old once you were in high school.
Says a dad in Rockville, Maryland.
But if you're old enough to drive and have a learner's permit, you should definitely drive and buy yourself some candy.
This mom in Baltimore says you're never too old to trick-or-treat at her house.
As long as you're being respectful to the smaller trick-or-treaters.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Yeah, you know, there's something a little creepy about, you know, older teenagers that are coming to your house to trick-or-treat. But I don't think we should be suspicious of everybody. And, you know, some people are still in the spirit of Halloween, so I hope you receive them in a positive way tonight.
Well,
Halloween is one of the...
They had a text earlier that said, if anybody comes to the house trick-or-treating over 10, they get in halls called, like those cough drops, like Vicks.
Oh, wait, if anybody comes in...
If anybody trick-or-treats at their house that's older than 10 years old, they're getting cough drops.
Yeah, that's a way to chase a few away. Halloween is one of the deadliest holidays, as I mentioned, for pedestrians, particularly children.
Some experts say the scariest things on Halloween are not monsters or ghosts, but traffic. Halloween is one of the deadliest days of the year for pedestrians, especially for children. Backing out of driveways can be particularly dangerous on Halloween with kids running from house to house. To mitigate the risk of accidents, doctors say pedestrians and drivers need to stay alert, obey the rules of the road, and exercise extra caution. They also say wearing safe costumes is another key. Avoid masks where the person can't completely see, and costumes that drag or have long capes are a trip and fall hazard. I'm Julie Walker.
All right, let's go to Metairie. Carlos, I've got time for a quick comment. Happy Halloween.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Carlos.
I know you've kind of lightened it up and not on the politics in the last since I've been holding, but it just seems ironic to me sometimes. I catch you between Newell and Bobby, and it's just, you know, you rail on this partisan politics and the presidential election and everything, and you blame the media for a lot, but I hope you would reflect sometimes and realize that you're part of that. Like, you've made a living for the last, you know, however many years Trump has been in this role and his public eyes, and you talk about it almost every day. So, you know, you complain about it, but you're making a living off of it. You really are. And it's, you know, when I hear you talk about politics, I don't hear you trying to unite people. I don't hear you trying to bring people together. I just hear you railing on one side or the other. And, you know, you're not always bashing Trump or always bashing the other side. I mean, I think it's obvious to most people you kind of lean left, and that's fine. I mean, that's part of the world you live in. But I just wish you would just sometimes admit, I mean, even in the last segment, you were talking about the media bias and blaming media. And, like, that's you, man. You're part of this. You could be part of the solution of all this. And sometimes I don't think you take advantage of the opportunity you're in to be a different voice and not exploit it as much as you can. Thank you.
Well, Carlos, I'll say this. I do have to get to a break, but I have time to respond quickly. I appreciate the call and your comment. I believe I am different. Everybody in the media isn't the same. And I believe that I'm different from the media that I criticize. I talk about this every day that it's in the news. We've got an election coming up. Of course, I'm going to talk about Trump and Kamala Harris every day. And when a presidential candidate says and does some of the things that Trump says and does, I would be reckless if I didn't talk about it. I'm not making up reasons to talk about Trump. In fact, I relish the day when I don't have to talk about Trump. But it's in the news. It's part of my job. I think, you know, judgment of of entertainment is subjective. So in your view, I'm all those things that I'm not. But in the minds of many others, I'm all those things to them. I am a reasonable voice. I am different. I don't follow the pattern of the typical conservative talk show host. They're the ones that are worthy of criticism, in my opinion, because they don't consider anything other than the lies that are continually promoted. And Kamala Harris lies too. We've gone over this. But again, I like to think of myself as being different from the media, and I'm not. I don't always defend the media. I can be critical of the media that I'm part of, but it doesn't mean that I'm part of exactly, you know, what they do. All right, look, I've done a couple of different covers of this song. This is the original. And look, I'm old enough to remember playing this song when it was just kind of in current rotation years ago. But this is the original Season of the Witch by Donovan. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll take this to break and be right back on WWL. You know, over my career, I have continued to study the relationship between mass media and society, and I'm one of the few people in the media that actually analyzes the media. So while I'm part of this industry, I don't always defend the media, and I can be quick to analyze and criticize the industry that I'm part of. Listen, coming up next, this is going to be really exciting. It's a weekend kickoff with Mike Dettillier and Steve Geller, and they are live at the Treasure Chest Casino. This is at the end of Williams Boulevard, Lake Town, right on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain. Join them coming up next. A lot to talk about. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, show producer today, Jordan Fiegel, studio producer Coleman, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Happy Halloween. Love you, New Orleans.